There we go. Okay, brilliant. Well, we're here at the beginning of the rest of our lives. The Healing Foundation modules have come full circle. I really hope that everyone can join us for the group call next week to share, to enjoy, and to celebrate with each other, and maybe even invite some of the new people that are just coming on board. And I think it would be wonderful for them. They would benefit from your wins and being precise and concise about the things that you've done. And this is how you build self-esteem. You see what you've done and give yourself lots of praise for that. It's one of the things we're going to talk about a little bit. So let's just do a very short centering. By now, you've practiced a lot, and it's time to see that you can do a centering in as little time as visualizing the entire rainbow at once. We'll do one just a little longer than that, and it'll be much shorter than the ones we've done previously. Each and every time you center, you'll be more centered than ever before. This is a lifestyle, not just something to try once in a while. It's a lifestyle. And many of you have been telling me about how effective it is in your lives. So let's do that. Let's just get still and quiet for a minute. And take a nice deep breath in. See those beautiful tubes of light connecting you to your higher self, your Godhead, and to the wisdom of Mother Earth. And the first thing I must do to center myself is to visualize the most brilliant and beautiful red vibration, like a beautiful red rose. Each and every time I visualize the color red, I still and quiet my body. I just relax my body from head to toe. With each and every breath, I direct my breath to those places that may be tense or in dissonance and just let it go as I breathe right through it. Red is the color of the outer physical body. I just release and let go and relax my outer physical body. Peace. Peace. Moving further inward now, I next visualize the color orange. Orange is the color of emotions. I still and calm my emotions. I just let them go. I release any emotional attachments to all people, places, things, and events in my life, for I truly desire to be in the totality of the now. Moving ever inward now, I next visualize the color yellow. Yellow is the color of the mind, like the sun itself fills my vision. I quiet my mind. I just let all my thoughts go. Maybe I put them on a cloud and send them away, or simply tell them they can come back later when I have better directives. However it works for you, I don't fight my mind. I just let it go. And now, having left my three outer bodies quiet and peaceful, I next visualize the next inner higher spiritual color, green. Green is the color of peace. I feel peace welling up deep inside my body. The warmth of peace fills me. I see myself active, talking and communicating in peaceful ways, and in this way creating peace with those all around me. Peace. Peace, peace echoes from my heart like a ripple in the pond. This brings me into a higher vibration as I've opened the door to that of love. And I visualize the most brilliant blue color like the sky itself. And I realize this incredible vibration is the energy source of the universe. I need only visualize this most brilliant, beautiful blue color to feel the action of love operating within each and every cell of my body. I feel energized and enthused just by visualizing this most brilliant blue color. Next, I visualize the color purple. Purple is the color of aspiration. I transcend all thinking. I go beyond all thought. I just know. I even know that I know. I know that soon I shall be at the center of my very being, the holiest of holy places. I go beyond thinking. I just know. And now I go into the center of my being and I visualize the color violet. I am now centering myself. I am at the holiest of holy places, the center of my very being, the place where all knowledge is known to me. I need only be silent as I have stilled all my outer bodies and listen to the voice within. I allow myself these next few moments to be led wherever my divine self leads me to go. Peace. 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 Peace, peace, peace. Soon I know I must come back to the everyday world. I allow myself these next few moments to complete my journey, as this is all the time that I need. And to begin my journey back into this real world, I visualize the colors of the rainbow in reverse sequence, beginning with violet, moving upwards and outwards to purple, upwards and outwards still to blue, upwards and outwards to green, yellow, orange, and red. I open my eyes. I'm infused. I'm enlightened. I'm enriched with the knowledge from deep within. I just am. Swami Vivekananda says, take up one idea, make that one idea your life, think of it, dream of it, live on that idea. Let the brain, the muscles, the nerves, every part of your body be full of that idea. And just leave every other idea alone. This is the way to success. And I would say to succeed. You understand why I'm saying that later. Because one of the first things that I noticed when working with so many people is the idea that they hold are making themselves feel small and insignificant. They tell me they're not respected. They tell me they're not heard, even invisible. They tell me that they have no power and therefore do not feel safe, out of control, unappreciated, and thus form a low opinion of themselves. When feeling like this, it's often that people will focus their attention outward upon others and condemn or criticize or judge in order to deflect any attention upon themselves, lest they show their true disposition. In this way, we can hide ourselves while we're feeling small. But yet, this is a very damaging protocol. And the result is then to blame others for what we are. I made poor decisions, and by the way, it's everyone else's fault for what we're doing or for what we're not doing. And what this does very cleverly is it completely sidesteps the fact that it is ourselves causing the chaos. When it's somebody else and not me, then there's nothing to pay attention to. And we go on doing the same thing over and over again. So don't make yourself small. One who depreciates themselves in this manner, it is simply a sign of laziness. And one who's lazy, sooner or later, will make up and believe negative and destructive lies about themselves. After all, you are a perfect expression of God. But doing this has a tendency to make you feel small, so don't make yourself feel small. Take care not to depreciate yourself and go within. Try this instead. Just sit quietly. You can even do it right now while I'm explaining it. Whether you're by yourself or even in a crowd, you can do this at any time. Just begin to breathe deeply and notice that you can connect your breath to all those that are around you. Just see somebody and breathe right with them. And you'll notice that pretty soon everybody starts breathing the same. And know that with each breath, you expand your body, maybe twice as big, maybe three times as big. It's called expansion. Just expand yourself in any way that your imagination allows. But see yourself get bigger and bigger. Now, it might sound funny, but there are so many things that we relate to size and stature. When we feel bigger, we are bigger. When we're bigger than ourselves, we will feel more powerful. We'll feel confident, secure, and safe. This is the place to go. Go within. It always works. It's very important to be, as Don Miguel Ruiz says in his book, The Four Agreements. And he says to be impeccable with your word. Only speak highly of yourself. Never curse or judge yourself if you have problems. And you know what to do if you do that. I forgive myself. I love myself. Use the tools that we've learned. Revisit the Healing Foundation and the guided visualizations and the recordings like so many of you already have done. And let these ideas flood your mind and your voice. Your voice has great power. Just love and respect yourself. If you feel yourself better than others, it's a sign of lack of self-esteem. Instead, direct your attention to that which gives you pleasure. And when you're feeling that pleasure, you're more likely to lead yourself into joy. Do something that you love. And when you're engrossed in healing, in pleasing yourself, accomplishing your goals, there isn't any time for criticism or comparing yourself to another person. If you're beating yourself up because you're seeing that other people have more than you, for example, then maybe take a look at people who have less than you and see how much you truly have. This is a slippery slope, and there's many ways to fall off this beautiful sense of empowerment, this what people call self-esteem or self-worth. You know, a lot of men fall prey to this thing, especially men, because we think we're to provide all the time. We equate our self-worth with our net worth, and the two are non sequitur. And you might notice, too, when you're looking at people who have less than you, that there are a lot more people who have less than you, as if owning things has anything to do with self-esteem. A good friend of mine called me up and he said, geez, I'd like you to build me a deck when I'm doing a lot of construction work. Geez, I hadn't seen him in a while, so I went over, talked to him, and I said, geez, you're living all by yourself. What are you going to do with this big deck? And he quickly confessed that he really wasn't going to use it much. So I asked why, and his response kind of surprised me, but not really. He said he just wanted to keep up with the neighbors. They all had decks. And as soon as he said it, we both burst out laughing. Instead, we laughed and so much that we decided just to go out, have dinner, and reminisce some old times. Saved him a lot of money that day. And had nothing to do with his self-esteem. You know, I was working with a group of people, maybe a few of you have heard this before, who were sent home from the hospital basically to collect their things and complete their lives. They were sent home basically to die. They had days, maybe even weeks, left to enjoy their lives in this world. As I found out, a few of them had only hours. About 2 years later, to make the long story short, I realized that all of those people, except for the two that really, really couldn't spend some time with us, were still with us. I was speaking to them at a free workshop that I would do for them like my community service. And all of a sudden, I lost my train of thought. I was so flushed with emotion. And they asked me, what's going on? What's wrong? And I said, geez, I just realized why I'm here. I just realized that many of you are here for over 2 years. And we're all still here. And I got so flushed with joy. And they said, well, what's going on? I said, well, I just realized I'm really here because of my own joy. And they kind of got a little upset. They said, well, no, you're here for us. I said, no, I'm really not. I'm here. This really lights me up. It makes me happy. I'm doing what I love to do. And I said, let's face it. Why are you here? You're here because of your own joy. You're feeling better. You're enjoying your life. You're not here for me. You didn't invite me to your house. We don't have dinner together. We don't go out and do things together. You're here for you. And I'm here for me. And it was just such a revelation. Now take note of this because it's very important. Ask yourself, why am I doing what am I doing in this moment? See if what you're doing is bringing you joy. Or you're just tolerating your life. Go within. I think your task is to be happy. If it isn't, take a look at what's causing you anything but joy. Get rid of it. And maybe right then and there, just resolve to adjust your lifestyle to what does bring you joy. Really go within. One of the quickest ways to find out what it is that you want, what is your genius talent, is to center yourself and listen to the voice within. Or revisit your childhood, sit with nature. All of these things we've talked about. Revisit accessing the power within and constantly rekindle that inner voice. Look for that beautiful vision you have made of your perfect self and speak to it. Use any way that works for you, but interrupt that pattern that is bringing you anything other than joy. Just open your heart to God. Tap into the collective consciousness any way you want to say it. Just come home. You see, it's here that we tend to go unconscious and unaware. We're in the throw and we're in the middle of things. But you got to realize, condition yourself to notice that. And don't beat yourself up for it. Say, oh, yeah, I noticed it. Remember, the first stage of healing, the first stage of change is awareness. You first got to be aware that your heart is closed. In this way, you're empowered to seek out ways, as we've done these last few months, to find your way back into your heart. Really go within. Your brain might be saying, you know, this is really serious. But it's not. Don't get too serious. Serious stops evolution. Fear stops evolution. And what we really need in life is the absolute feeling of our worth, so that we can bring it to the world and open so many doors to the soul. You expand from within. Breathe that breath. Let your body feel bigger than life. Feel the intuition, which then empowers you to correct choice. Truly go within. I mean, have you noticed, like a celebrity, a politician or a singer gets on the stage, how much bigger than life they are? It always amazes me. I was just watching Drumbro Melchizedek on stage, and I thought he was much taller when I stood next to him, because he's bigger than life when he's up there. He's doing something that's much bigger than himself. They're in tune with their goals and their aspirations. They sing their song. They are the music that they play. They're no longer just themselves. They're in an expanded state. Ironically, the answer to get there is to go within. You see, by listening and practicing the Healing Foundation models, because it takes determination, it takes persistence to achieve your own self-esteem. It's not just this overnight thing. You've been practicing something else all your life, and some self-esteem as well. And you might realize, too, when your self-esteem is high, your ego doesn't try to falsify in you what is already great. You don't need to look at others. You're just enjoying yourself so much you barely know they're there. Go within. Try to boost your self-esteem with your ego. Makes yourself infinitely smaller. It's a downhill ride. So just expand yourself. Don't make yourself small. Notice what you're seeing in others. See, I see that which is in you that's true for me. Go home and heal yourself. Consider that you are the only one in charge of your own destiny. You're the only one that can change your destiny. That is your divine creative ability. And mankind holds his destiny completely in his own hands. To me, there are no back doors. There are a lot of great people that say otherwise. But I notice my life seems to work. So choose what works for you. So what can we create with our own minds and hands? What are the tools of high self-esteem? Now, besides everything that we've learned already, let's apply all of those tools to something of a more feeling nature. And of course, listen with every cell of your body. Go within. One of the old, you know, the usual suspects is accountability and alignment. I was recently walking a tightrope, if you could believe that. And the idea was I was in the shape of a triangle, just a few feet off the ground. And the idea was walking on one edge of this tightrope was my past. The next edge was the present, and the next edge was the future. And as I was describing some of my past, what came up was when my wife passed away. And while I was experiencing that and telling them, I was actually laughing, I was smiling. I was letting go through laughter, and I got busted because I wasn't aligned with my feelings. I made myself alone as though they're not going to notice, and I'm impermeable to this disaster as it appeared to me in the moment. And I made myself alone. I did that in real life. And I didn't ask for help because, see, there's people two in front and two in back of me that could help me, because when I get into this state, I could barely keep my balance. It was very hard. And when they busted me, they said, "Why don't you ask for help?" And I remembered it brought me instantly back to that point in time when I thought, gee, I don't even have a family. And I have the biggest, most loving family you could possibly imagine. And I thought I couldn't call anyone. I made myself alone. And I got then, in that moment, to ask for help. I said, geez, I'll hold my back a little bit, you know, steady my arms so I don't fall off this line of life. And I went from being alone to being a team, to joining my heart with others as they join their hearts with me. And even now, it brings great emotion. You see, I was trying to skirt being accountable to the truth, and I was severely out of alignment. There was little joy in the physical passing of my wife, Patricia, save to end the suffering that she endured. But once in alignment, I was able to complete somehow my spiritual communication to her, which produced a smile on my face that was genuine of my past. My past and my present still love her. This was a true joy. We must be accountable to what we create, what life brings us, and what might really happen. I think I'm going to add to this story a little bit now. I wasn't planning on this. Years later, I was in Thailand, and I was going there to do a documentary. And I met a woman named Jasmine who couldn't speak English, told me all about my family in the first few seconds I was there. So I took the opportunity to ask her, why did my wife suffer? Well, I was a redneck contractor before her passing, and when she became ill, I went from this redneck contractor to a healer. That was one reason. Another reason was she took on the karma of all of her family. The women in her family were very not nice to the women in their family. Mother to the daughter to the granddaughter, so on, all the way down the line. Well, I'm happy to tell you now that she took on all that karma, and my daughter loves her daughter. And that's why I have that smile. Sai Ma says, you know, be in joy. Why not? Have you noticed how peaceful they are when you smile, a real smile, a true smile, with no thing in mind, no question, no expectation, a sincere smile as an offering to another? Sri Satya Sai Ma. So just ask yourself, why would I do anything? What is the idea held before my mind as my reason for being here? Am I experiencing joy? Am I creating joy? If I create my destiny, then why do I have what I have? No one else creates this destiny. No one else is responsible. You can't say that I did not create what I have. You can say I am the creator of my life. This is great power in it. Which one would you rather live with? Since it is our mind that makes up what we believe. And as you can see by the strong beliefs programs that we have exposed and seen, we can change the world. You've seen it happen, Martin Luther King in his speech, I Have a Dream. John F. Kennedy, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. And the Dalai Lama, just love yourself and be kind to others. How hard is that? And you too can have that same effect on the entire world. Ask now, am I doing what's pure and honest and serves the highest and best good for all? Am I doing what's pure and honest and serves the highest and best good for all? This is really important. Go with that. You hear the answer instantly. You know. I remember when I'd go to bring a contract to build a home, and I would always center myself prior to going in. And I would ask that question. Is it pure? Is it honest? Does it serve the highest and best good? I would actually see what was out of place in my presentation or my pricing, or even an omission or a duplicate in my estimating procedure. And I would expose it. When I went in, I said, gee, I just realized this is what I put in here. And I had some fear based on the fact that I didn't know all of the pieces. And what I'd like to do is transfer that now into an allowance so that in case I can save you some money, it would work a little bit better. Or I said, you know, it could certainly cost you more, but this is an unknown. And this is why I put this bit a little bit higher. So if I can save you some money, it would work great. Now that kind of talk, people say, oh, you've got to bid 5 or 15 or 20 jobs to get one. No, I just did one at a time. By meeting that criteria of is it pure, is it honest, and serving the highest and best good, the universe would unfailingly grant me a huge yes. So I didn't experience failure in giving bids to build houses. At any rate, there are no failures in life. No successes either. That's judgmental. There's just events. We attach the words failure or success as a form of judgment or criticism. The difference is if you can discern some very useful conclusion from your experience. Sin is just missing the mark. It isn't something bad. It isn't something good. It isn't anything. In that sense, we've done nothing wrong or unjust. We simply just missed the mark. You can try again and again and again. And this is what builds self-esteem. And with the knowledge that you have gained from the previous experience, you know what road to take the next time. It becomes easier. Just go with it. Realize that you're not judged by anyone. Your harshest judge is yourself. It is only a choice that you might listen and then judge yourself. So just focus on your heart and direct a real benefit from an unfortunate encounter. Just know, if you're pessimistic about yourself and you criticize yourself, well, this is a harsh statement, but I want you to hear it. Pessimism is a direct assault on life. When somebody is giving you a hard time, it is because they're in pain, not you. Send them love. Feel the love build up inside you. see if you can help them before you consult into whatever issue they think they're talking about. If you think that you failed, simply trust that it was your I Am presence that always works for you to your highest and best good. And when you do, you will experience the blessing of your own true Lord and Master, who has directed you to exactly where you need to be, to evolve in the way that you need to evolve. All you have to do is go within. Now, if you really want to bump your self-worth up, be in service. We are all one organism. That simply means that if one part of us is not working, then we are not working. If others are suffering, then we too are suffering somewhere, someplace. We must learn to be responsible in our, for ourselves in such a way that our actions benefit the whole. We must see to it that other people around us are doing well. And when we see all of this, we've got time to take care of our own homes. We've got time to take care of our neighborhoods. We've got time to take care of our true home, this entire earth. The great masters that I've been with over these years unanimously say that being in service, using the God-given talent that you have by going within, is one of the highest forms of worship that you could possibly do. Just notice how good it is that you feel when you're helping others less fortunate than you. That wonderful feeling of being in service. Being in service is probably one of the best ways to spend your free time. All of your time, actually. To heal yourself. To literally suck yourself out of self-pity and evil, ego-driven illness. Just be quiet and go within. Stop those thoughts immediately. Go serve another person. When you're serving another, pay attention to your own talents. See how absolutely brilliant and talented you actually are. I'm stunned at the talent that everybody is here. It's just incredible. The compassion, the love, the understanding, the nourishing hearts. See that in yourself, then allow your expanding heart to give more and more. The universe is an unending supply and support for this type of action. And with that heart truly open, you are in true and real service to others. You can smile when you're in the worst, seemingly the worst situations, knowing that you absolutely made a difference. And this is the difference between happiness and joy. Happiness, well, gee, I just got out of that one. Joy, I just spoke my truth. And while it might not have been heard in the moment, it has an effect. It brings people to the table to tell their truth. Happiness can be short-lived. Joy builds upon itself and creates a feeling of well-being and purpose. Your self-esteem soars. So just be humbled in your self-appreciation. The result of these heart felt actions doesn't make you better than others. It allows you to join with their hearts. That's how it become bigger. You join with the hearts of others. Share your genius with each other. Know what it is. Go within. Feel the freedom of truth. Oh. Dear beloveds, I mean, we have the freedom to choose whatever it is that you want to do. You get to choose your state of being. You get to choose where you are. You get to choose your environment. You get to choose to be healthy, regardless of the chatter in your brain. You get to choose from your heart. You get to choose prosperity, abundance. You get to choose charity. You get to choose whatever you want. So why not choose what you love? It is the most significant healing power. Why not find that genius within you, that natural talent that you can do with such grace and ease, with side effects like peace and joy, health and prosperity? just be devoted to your service, your genius, talent, and your magnificence grows, and your self-worth soars. I've given the definition several times, just an outward centrifugal force. That's the definition of love as I know it. I learned this from the masters. Any outward force is love. When you qualify that outward force with compassion, coming from your heart, the fruits of all your labor will soar. Don't be a slave to doing what you don't like. You must be aligned. I know that doesn't work in the fire walk. When I take people walking on the coals, if they're not aligned, they will get burned. You can get burned. Now, fortunately, I do my job pretty good, but people do get a couple of blisters here and there. They walk across to be cool, to save face, to do what their friends did. These are not reasons to do things in life. They do them to please others. That was a big one. Don't be a slave to what you don't like. Go within, see what brings you joy, and do that. Don't live the lives of others and think that you're doing well. You're minimizing yourself every day. So love yourself freely. Give to yourself freely. Receive freely this love that you give to yourself. Love others freely. Give to them freely. Receive and give this love freely. You've heard people say that love is the breath of God, or love is God. God is love. In a sense, I could go along with all of that. It is the outward centrifugal force that gives us the energy and the creative ability to do whatever we want. When you experience love and attraction to another, it is just a reflection of your own love. It is a giving thing. Conscious living is doing what you love to do. Conscious business is doing what you love to do. Let your heart free to express your genius. Take hold. Take charge. This is the way to build your self-worth. Go within. Now, we've all been working very hard. Many times we get impatient. Patience is a virtue. I know somebody said that somewhere. We pray and ask for things and then become impatient when they don't happen immediately. Remember how long you have been praying. Every thought that you are having is a prayer. The definition of prayer, as I understand it in Aramaic language, is to set a trap. So if we set a trap to be healthy, wise, wisdom, we'll have it. If we set a trap to be ill and poverty, we have it. So patience is what builds that character. When you ask for something in your life to happen, it is in the sense that you are giving that you receive. So when we practice patience, we're practicing peace. Impatience is another root of negativity. Oh, it didn't happen, and down that slippery slide we go. Use your patience as a teacher. You know, sometimes there just aren't any quick solutions. Sometimes we've got to plant the seed and let it grow. But as we become more and more powerful, as we become more and more aware in alignment with what we want to do, we create nearly instantaneously. So trust, when you have directed your attention to some specific goal, that you have set forces in action. If you don't like what's happening, change that action. Change your attention. Believe in yourself. Have patience that as you have asked, it will be delivered. Be quiet and go within. And one of the things that really got to me early in the game here, and if you know, I went through a very, very deep depression. I really chose some hard, I made some tough choices in life. They really didn't serve me very well at all. Until now, when I said I'm going to use all of those and make them serve me, it was the biggest self-esteem killer I know. It's called laziness. This is another way of saying, I make poor decisions, and by the way, it's your fault. Having been in the construction business for many years, I would always hear the story. Oh, everybody says there's no work, there's no work, there's no work. And I create all these wonderful jobs and I hire people that don't even bother to show up. They're all complaining they don't have work. They don't see there's a disconnect there someplace. And they wonder why their lives aren't working. They don't even think well enough about themselves or believe in themselves enough to honor the commitment they made not only to me but to themselves to show up. Once I was sitting in a little mastermind group and we came up with the definition of freedom. I actually changed the word. It was a definition of success, but I really see this freedom. Here's what we said. Freedom can be measured in direct proportion to the number of agreements one makes to themselves and keeps. This is a tremendous esteem builder. How many times do we make little things? Oh, I'm going to meet somebody at 10, we show up at 10:15. Oh yes, come on over, and I'd love to have you over, you don't really invite them. These are agreements that are broken. They seem innocuous, but in the realm of spirit, there's no big or small, right or wrong. It just is. It's either it worked or it didn't. It either builds your esteem or it doesn't. There are no judgments as to the size of the infringement. So take on any challenge as though it was sent as a personal invitation for you to become productive and effective at creating whatever joy you want to create in your life. There's a saying I kind of like to leave you with regarding laziness. You know, you give a lazy person the hardest job, and they'll find a way to do it sitting down. Now that's creativity. Use your talent to be and do what you want to do. Understand and know it and live it. Go within. Remember, as your genius soars, use it to teach, not to boast of your own pride. This is something I learned a little bit the hard way too, modesty and humility. You know, modesty is my best quality. My spiritual guide, Alexander, was a born teacher. He was very secure about the knowledge that he wished for us to know. He never said, maybe, or this might work. He would say things like, seek the depth of your heart and you will find the kingdom of God. He didn't say, I think you will find the kingdom of God, or maybe you will find the kingdom of God. He was absolutely certain. He said this with great modesty. He was just stating a truth as he knew it. It mattered not what we thought. It was for us individually to decide. He was a very evolved man. They used to say out loud, I love Alexander. That was his name. He is the best person that I know. People might say, oh, what an ego. But the ego, he is not using it for better than less than. He's using it to teach. Who would listen to him if he said, I think, or maybe, or I guess? The person who believes in himself shows that they are far more knowing of their own true value. It's really important. The person who believes in themselves shows that they are far more knowing of their own true value. You know what that is when you go within. I remember my son was applying some ceramic tile to my daughter's kitchen floor, and there, my three-year-old grandson was running around messing up the tiles. He just couldn't seem to keep off them before they dried. As my son lay on his stomach on the floor, disillusioned and beaten, he's got his chin in his hands, and he's lying down on the floor, kind of grumbling. And my grandson lay down facing directly in front of him on the new tiles he was messing up, with his chin in his hands, mimicking my son. And he said, you know what, Uncle Greg? My son's name is Greg, too. My son just gruntedly said, what? And my grandson said, I love myself. You see, he knows who he is. He saw that my son was disgruntled and upset. He couldn't understand why. See, he loved himself so much, he couldn't understand why, but he could feel like that. My son then relaxed and laughed. and continued his work adjusting the tiles, realizing that the love of his nephew was greater importance than how straight those tiles were. He got them straight anyway, being the perfectionist he was. You see, my little grandson knew the way to joy was simply to love himself. We know that. We all know that. We just get dissuaded by the dumping grounds of the thoughts of others. When someone speaks from the heart, it's received by the heart. It's humble, and it's life-changing. When you become modest, your service exceeds your desire for recognition. When you exceed your desire in selfless service, you find yourself. Then you just get to see how magnificent you all really are. Don't let fear dissuade you. Say, I am Gregory, and I love myself. Don't be afraid to say that. Fear is another one of those limitations. Here's a simple equation. Limit your desires, then your fears will disappear. Now you say, but I want things, I want to succeed, I want to do these things. But if it's causing you fear, set some priorities. If you find yourself in fear, maybe you just simply need to prioritize. See what it is that you have set upon yourself and reduce it into something that you can achieve. Often when we get into this state where we think we want to do so many things, our mind starts to chatter and makes them bigger than they are, makes them bigger than yourself. In other words, you're diminishing yourself again. If you're in fear, chances are pretty good that you're going to make a decision rather than know a choice, and you will miss the mark. You're not paying attention to what your heart's telling you to do. So just stop. Take that 60 seconds and just love yourself. Breathe beautifully in and through your heart. Love is a higher vibration. It is the most powerful protection against all fears. Go within, love yourself. Sri Satya Sai Baba said, humankind is basically, essentially immortal. His embodiment of mortality. He is the embodiment of mortality. And yet he's afraid to die. He is the embodiment of bliss. Yet he complains that he is wretch. The embodiment of peace, but full of anxiety. This absurd tragedy is the root of self-deception from which much of the world suffers. But we now are pulling ourselves out. I know the suffering. I've been in depression. Having experienced deep depression, I can understand how the simplest things, I felt helpless and hopeless. I felt like I was surrounded by a brick wall. It wasn't, you know, this is a funny thing, but it was the suffering that brought me back. I had to finally suffer enough that I took action and came to a different idea of what to do in my life. And that action needed to start loving myself again. Stop loving myself was what caused that very suffering. I became actually attached, or one might even say addicted, to what I call my depression. I owned it. Don't do that. It's just passing through. It's really a poor use of your time to own a negative addiction. Don't be addicted to being sick and to having the accolades and being weeded on it and people not having sympathy, you know. Those are addictions. Don't do that. It's a poor use of your time to own a negative addiction. It wasn't until the suffering was so unbearable that I had to step into action. I got to tell you, too, it also helped that I cultivated people around me that already in those times loved me more than I was loving myself. One such person who could identify my suffering came to me like an angel from heaven was my neighbor, Cheryl. She changed the course of my life. She actually tricked me, told me it was a date. You know, I was lonely. My mind wasn't in the best shape at the time. I had other manly thoughts about why she was around. But she tricked me. She was much smarter than I was. She persuaded me to take a self-awareness course. which was sourced by my great teacher and friend Alexander. And it was actually that course that led me to Alexander. Something inside me said, I have to do what she said. She actually, in her way, persuaded me to go within. Today's addictions are widespread. It's important to cultivate positive addictions. When you see a negative addiction, stop it immediately. Don't whine and say that I can't do that. Don't be lazy. Choose something that will bring joy to you and act upon it. Go outside in nature. Change your state. Move your chair to a different room. Get up and do something different. Even have a drink of water. Act upon it immediately. Go and pet the dog. Enjoy the things that you've surrounded yourself with. Notice a beautiful bed of flowers that you may have planted. And I was always impressed by a writing about Nikola Tesla. He's a great inventor. Most of the things that Thomas Edison claimed to fame, it was Tesla. It was said that once he found out about the negative effects that coffee had on his body, he never drank it again. Once he found out about how other people's electromagnetic field affected his, he maintained a 6-foot distance between other people. So you have to be strong. You have to take charge. When you go within, you will know how. Don't allow yourself to become attached to something that obviously or covertly harms you. All you have to do is look at your results. You just don't lie. Go within. Attachments, you know, they're like stubborn burns stuck to your clothing. Mind your feelings. Keep your mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual bodies balanced. Do not let your feelings take you down the road that would have been or would have had you to believe that you are stuck where you are. You are not. There is nothing holding you. Take the time to see exactly where you are. Don't fib or lie to yourself. Just see it. And in this way, it's like pinpointing yourself on a roadmap. Once you do that, you can find your way out. If I blindfold you, took on a plane and a boat and a car, I could drop you off in your same state that you live in or the same country that you're in, near to your home in a place unfamiliar to you, and you wouldn't know where to go because you don't know where you are. So take the time to see where you are. Check in to what you're doing to create that. Ah, I see this is happening. Why am I doing that? I see this is happening. What are the prices and the payoffs? Check in with your inner voice, that beautiful, perfect self that you have so eloquently put together right at the beginning. You know, I was speaking of attachment, you know, it's like I was working with young boys who kept getting into fights at school. They were being kicked out of all the schools, and they didn't know what to do with them. And they heard I was doing this class, and they sent them to me. And I discovered, to make a long story short, that they had no idea that other kids didn't fight. That was their world. They were abused children. They unanimously thought that everyone did, and that that was simply the way of life. And again, to make a long story short, when they discovered this, they no longer got into fights, and they were able to be productive students. So you truly have to understand that your will is the will of the I Am Presence. And once we share information and knowledge, we can change each other's life. We can change our own life. Everything that I speak, everything I say is to teach myself. It brings me joy. And you thought it was all about you. One could say that this will of God, or the knowledge of the universe within, the all and the everything, the prana, the chi, collective consciousness. In this sense, it is the most powerful underlying motivator of all that you do, to tap in. The reason it's so powerful is because your will comes from the will of your I Am Presence, or the will of God. It is the will of everyone. This amazing and brilliant mind of ours, at any moment, at the drop of a dime, can work for or against us. Be aware. To enjoy is a way to what might be called heaven, or the joy that you receive on earth now. It's important to balance and control your thinking. If you don't control your thinking, eventually it controls you. So just imagine, if you sought out the greatness in everyone and everything that you see, using your heart to see what is the truth in front of you, never mind the words or the presentation, what is the true message? The message might simply be they're in pain. And that's the only way they're able to communicate in the moment. It has nothing to do with you. Then you'll be able to serve your thoughts and not identify yourself with them. All feelings are already within you. There's nothing new. An event simply triggers those feelings that are already inside you. There's a cute little anecdote, you know, this little boy goes up to his mother and he's nagging and bothering her, and she goes, "Oh my gosh, you just push all my buttons." The little boy looks up at her and says, "Well, don't forget, Mom, I'm not the one who installed them." Really be mindful about this. Whatever you're feeling is because of what you've experienced, something outside of your body. Feelings are awakened within you. You must not react. Once you have balanced your thoughts and feelings, your feelings then become your passions. They become the motivator for what brings you joy. You notice how many times I say the word joy? It's very purposeful, I think. So the key here is to balance the fourfold nature of man. Check your feelings with your mind. Check your mind with your intuition. Check your feelings in your mind with your physical body. See what is out and bring it back. Right action creates high self-worth. Go within. When the mind is overflowing, you know, sometimes we talk too much. This careless speaking causes us to lose much of our internal energy, not to mention our spiritual power. For example, when somebody has a great aha or they have a tremendous vision, keep that to yourself. Allow the energy to work inside. And once you have a lesson or the value of that aha, then go ahead and share it. Don't dissipate the spiritual power that you've just acquired by trying to bring others and convince them that you had such a great thing to happen. Enjoy it yourself. Bring the joy to yourself and just let your joy speak. So mind your words. Speak brilliantly about others. Find their genius and speak to it. This will create a beautiful strength within. It'll heal yourself. And as your strength returns, you will exude your self-worth. It'll just be there. If you look for the negative, you'll find it everywhere. If you look for the joy, you'll find it everywhere. If you look for the positive, you'll find it everywhere. It's simply not useful to do anything otherwise. You actually reduce yourself. So, you know, we actually did an experiment where we put somebody up on the stage and we all thought greatly of them, and we muscle tested ourselves and everybody was pretty powerful. And then we negative thoughts about that person and tested their energy, and they were powerless. And then something really amazing happened. We tested the people in the crowd, and so were we. So you see how important it is not to identify in that suffering of others. We create suffering in ourselves by thinking poorly of someone else. The way to self-worth and self-esteem is to think brilliantly about others, because it is to think brilliantly of ourselves. Why create the suffering? Change is always inevitable. Suffering is the optional part. Earlier I mentioned, you know, the idea of negative addictions or positive addictions. Positive addictions, like exercising, eating properly, ingesting good words, doing good deeds, supporting your planet, being kind to others, helping those less fortunate, doing what you love, going with the flow. The best thing to do is gracefully accept every difficulty, because it is there to make you stronger so that you can do far more with less effort. Create that community around you. Join your heart with others. Expand yourself. As you give more of yourself, you expand. Your worth is so great, and whose measure is joy. As the Dalai Lama said, love yourself and be kind to others. Hi, my name is Gregory, and I love Gregory. Now, even in the midst of this, I may be suffering the kind of suffering, for example, that a caterpillar goes before becomes a butterfly. It's got to release itself of things it no longer needs. Go into the small exit of the cocoon. So just use your greatness to find the greatness in others and feel that beautiful power from within that causes you to feel and be deserving of all that you have set yourself up to receive. This is true wisdom. Sometimes I've been working with people and wisdom is shared and met with the response, oh, that just doesn't work for me. I've been there and I've done that. I studied all about that positive thinking nonsense and it doesn't work. Well, you all know by now, beware of condemning or being or an act. Usually, condemnation is some form of prejudice, and that prejudice about yourself. Just at least for the moment, admit to yourself that you know nothing. It makes you free. Allow yourself to discover the true path of those in front of you. If they're ill and they're saying, oh, I've done that and I've studied that, and I have to say evidently not. To know something and not to do something about it is the same thing as not knowing. So there's a great, great signpost of high self-worth when you no longer judge anyone. You simply observe. You check into your higher self. Is this pure? Is this honest? Does it serve the highest and best good? Then act. Ignorance to that fact is the equivalent of judgment. Nothing remains hopeless or helpless when ignorance is destroyed with knowledge. This keeps your ego in check. You see, a real creator is not attached to its creation. You can actually use the ego like Alexander does. Or the knowing that you are one with all. And everything is in its proper use. Everything, it gives you the ability to develop strength and to carry out the acts formulated in your mind, even before you start acting upon them. This will support right action. It gives you the chance to see what it is you're doing, which builds your self-worth, your self-esteem. Use your ego to learn and serve with humility and powerful gentleness. Your ego is here to help you find yourself. Use it wisely. Go within. Love yourself. In this world, there is not a greater sacrifice than the inner strength. There is no greater happiness than satisfaction. There is no more sacred act than mercifulness, having mercy. There is not more effective weapon than patience. Let your ego assist you and find your own genius. As well as the genius in others, there is a latent genius within you, calling you. It's your time now. Let your ego educate you to facilitate the process of using your internal resources, your inner awareness, your perfect self, the genius within, to realize the fullness of your being. Use the tools and teachings herein to open your inner connection and vision. To discover your connection to all that is. And when you do, share what you learned with others. I said at the beginning, your calling, take up one idea, make that idea your life. Think of it, dream of it, live on that idea. Let the brain, the muscles, the nerves, every part of your body be full of that idea. And just leave every other idea alone. This is the way to succeed. I just love that, Swami Vivekananda. I'll give you a quick story here. My daughter was dating a fellow in Hawaii when she was on an archaeological dig. And they started getting serious, you know, and so he came to visit the United States, and, well, Hawaii's in the United States. He came to visit us in New York. And I met him, and, well, gee, you know, being concerned, Dad, and what do you do? He says, well, I surf. I said, well, that's wonderful. That's really cool. And what do you do? He says, well, I surf. And come to find out, that's all he does. where do you live? He said, well, this old fellow really likes him, and he let him build a lean-to on his property in Hawaii. And I thought to myself, boy, my daughter's got a big job cut out for herself. So I told her, I said, well, you realize you're the breadwinner. You know, if you really love this person, this is how it's going to go down. Anyway, their relationship kind of went by the wayside, kind of long-distance relationship, a little hard to work, I suppose, but for whatever reason, I don't really know. But later, they kept in touch. He got a contract with the Navy SEALs, the United States government, to teach them how to surf because he was so good at it. Inside of you is your brilliance. It's time for you to step into your calling. Just know that the bigger your calling, the more resistance you're going to experience. But do it anyway. Share your brilliance. Share your genius, your brilliant talent with the world. While you're doing this, you can't help but share it with yourself. Even ask right now, what do I do in life that brings me joy and brings satisfaction to my soul? What lights me up? Well, it's full of amazing things. Old men build sandcastles for large hotels, you know, in Florida. Whatever is your calling, you know. Share your brilliance with the world. Be outrageously yourself. Let your love move through your life to produce your light to the world. Laugh at yourself. Don't judge or criticize. George Gurdjieff used to celebrate everybody's idiocy. Idiocy meaning everything about you. You are what you are. You are led to do what you do by your I am presence. It is all perfect. Just laugh. You're just playing a game. Remember, as a child, you can change the game at any minute. They do it all the time. It's kind of like playing Monopoly with a five-year-old. They just change the rules so that they can win. See the greatness in others. See the greatness in others. Allow the flame of love, the flame of devotion, the flame of the Christ consciousness to reveal the unlimited genius and treasures of the inner self. This is the beginning, the rest of your life. How will you play that game? May the blessings of God be upon you. May God's peace abide deep within your soul. May God's presence truly illuminate your heart, now and forevermore. Bless your heart. Bless your heart. Bless your heart. Be all that you can be.